love, and truth. You can't have one without the other. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The gospel is a message of love and truth. You can't have one without the other. You say, well, we just love people, so we let people do whatever they want to do. That's not true. So I got a friend that wants to put a gun to his head or wants to do, you know, crack or whatever and destroying their life. Well, I love you too much to say anything. That's not love. And then if I speak the truth and I say what's right and correct, but I don't say it with love, I misrepresent God, because God is love. So truth and love go together. Speak the truth in love. We love people according to truth.
The primary purpose of the early church was the same purpose for today's church: to spread the gospel. That's not to say we can't or shouldn't be involved in other things, but it should never be to the exclusion of our primary call. Thanks for joining us today for The Dwelling Place. We'll be joined by Pastor Al Pittman in a second. Perhaps the reason that many have lost sight of the gospel is that in order to live for it, hard work and sacrifice are a must. And then there's also satanic opposition. To fill us in from Acts chapter 19, here's Pastor Al.
Acts chapter 19. And I've taken the license, I guess I would call it, privilege of naming this message, giving this message a title. And the title is Rock the Boat. Now, when I came up with that title, I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to title of this message. But then the song from the 1974 popped into my head by the Hughes Corporation. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, I like to know where you got the notion. Amen. And rock the boat, right? Some of you guys remember. Amen. Don't leave me hanging. You were there. You out there. Amen. Doing the bump. Amen. Come on now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But today, the reason I came up with this message, this title, is because today I find that in the church, many times we're desperately seeking to not make waves. But a life without waves is a life without motion. A guy came up to me after the last service, gave me this note. He said, you might want to mention this. I thought, that's pretty good. I don't think I'm going to steal it. Calm seas do not make for a good sailor. Amen? And if you have a smooth life all the time, no waves, there's no motion to your life, no purpose. The reality is that Christ came to rock the boat. He came to upset the world, that he might awaken the world to their true spiritual condition before God. And then he commissioned us to go out and do the same, to make a difference. Remember Paul's word in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where he said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I mentioned that many times, you know, as I've been teaching over the years, but it always strikes me, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is power. And so in our text, we'll see what happens when the power of the gospel is unleashed upon a godless society. We'll find that the people and the culture are changed, impacted. This study reminds us that Christ has not called us to a docile, impotent faith. We need a courageous faith today. And my prayer is that we will be challenged to impact our sphere of influence, to impact the world around us by the power of God working within us. And so we begin here at verse 21. Acts chapter 19. And of course, the background is God is moving mightily in Ephesus. People are bringing their idols and their, you know, books for sorcery and witchcraft and burning them and all of these things. God is moving mightily. Well, the devil loves to come and try to break up a party. You know that. Verse 21 says, when these things were accomplished, this mighty move of God, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia, ancient Greece, in Achaia, ancient Greece, same areas, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he set sent rather into Macedonia, into Greece, modern-day Greece, two of those who ministered with him, or ministered to him, and that's Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. Even before Paul had gone back to Jerusalem, as he was going through Greece and he went over to Ephesus, we saw in chapter 18, and then they begged him to stay. He said, "Hey, I can't stay. I got to go on to Jerusalem. I don't want to miss the feast." Many believe it was the Passover feast. Even during that time, he had it within his heart, his desire to see Rome. And the Bible says that he purposed, not in his spirit, but in the spirit, that he would see Rome. In other words, his plans were spirit-led, not flesh-driven. You see, God is not out to frustrate our plans. He just wants our plans to be purposed in the spirit. What does that mean? To recognize and submit our plans to God, to know that God is sovereign, recognize his sovereign will, rather, over our plans. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, many of you know it, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." All right. But then we got to examine it a little bit closer. Amen. The Hebrew word for delight is anag. It means to be happy about, take exquisite delight in something. Do you have exquisite delight in the Lord? I have exquisite delight in prime rib. I've never cursed a prime rib. You know, set it before me, you know, and the juice and the, yeah, amen. Some of you haven't been to lunch yet, have you? Amen. Oh, man, do we delight in the Lord? Have that exquisite delight in him? The Hebrew word anag keeps us from being, wait for it, anag, amen. When we delight in the Lord, we complain less. Most of us, some of our faith looks like just like a whole complaint session. And the question is, are we delighting in the Lord? I believe if we delight in the Lord, we will complain less. Because here's the deal, that even if my dream or my desires doesn't come to pass, if I have the Lord, I have everything I need. Now we say amen, but do we really believe that? Because some of the same folks in here say amen, when certain things are taken away from us, I ain't going to church no more. You know how we do. Yet God is merciful and patient toward us. To delight in the Lord is therefore to lean on the Lord. So when everything else doesn't go my way, I still have joy because I'm leaning on the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean." Can you say lean? Lean. "Not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." When God gives you a vision, I've always said to people, give it back to him. What does that mean? I give it back to him so that he fulfills it in his time and his way. Because if you're trying to bring it to pass, you're going to be frustrated. Because you thought God should have turned right, and he turned left. Amen. And then when you're things you're dreaming about or you want don't come to pass, you get disappointed in the Lord and frustrated. Why? Because you weren't delighting in him. You're delighting in the vision. God gave me a vision. I give it back to him. Lord, you fulfill it in your time and in your way. While I'm delighting in you, he will direct your path. Amen. Now, Paul got to Rome, amen. We'll get to that part of the book of Acts. But he didn't get there the way he thought he would. Amen. Some of you know the story. But he did get to Rome. So Paul, waiting on the Lord's timing, sends Timothy and Erastus to Greece, ancient Greece, Macedonia. It's interesting, just kind of a sidebar, but Timothy's name, if you're taking notes, it means honored of God. It's awesome. Honored of God. Erastus' name, it means beloved. That's two great representatives, you know, of the gospel message going before Paul. Verses 23 and 24 says, "And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way," that is, about the gospel, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. This man, Demetrius, a commotion. He stirred up a commotion there in Ephesus against the way. The Greek word for commotion means, of course, disturbance, or I thought it was interesting, stir of mind, or stir the mind. Because it's exactly what the devil does against the way. He stirs the mind. The battlefield for your faith is between your ears. And the devil gets in there and starts stirring things up, and he stirred the minds up of these people. You know, the carnal mind gives the devil home court advantage. Play basketball, you go to the other team's court, and they have home court advantage. The crowd's louder. It's pretty intimidating. The devil has home court advantage when we operate in carnality. He plays with your mind.
Pastor Al will be back in a few moments with the second half of today's message in Acts 19. As we course our way through the year 2022, there are a lot of uncertainties. If there's one thing that needs to be consistent, it's the broadcasting of sound Bible teaching, like you hear every day on The Dwelling Place. We need your financial support to continue this radio ministry. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org. or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al with the second half of today's message titled Rock the Boat.
But we have a defense, an advantage, if you will, against the enemy. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Many of you know it. Wherefore, we should present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can know what is the good and acceptable will of God. Be transformed. Do not be conformed. To be conformed is to be pressed into a mold. And all the fears that we see in our society today is pressing people into a mold and making them something that they shouldn't be. But the believer ought to have his mind, he or she ought to have his mind renewed in Christ every day, that we may know what is a good and acceptable will of God. Transformed thinking, amen. With this advantage as a believer, we can therefore, yes, even in this age of so much uncertainty, we can rise up against the commotion, the schemes of the devil. I want you to look at Jeremiah chapter 1 with me. And God called Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young man when God called him. And Jeremiah, when the Lord called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, Lord, you know, I can't go. You know, I'm just a youth. And the Lord said, don't say you're a youth. Don't tell me who you are. Tell them who I am. Amen. There's another sermon. All right. And he goes to Jeremiah, and he commissions Jeremiah to go out and speak to the children of Israel at a time much like the times we face today. And what caught my attention, I shared this with our staff the other day, but I wanted to share it with you today, but just what the Lord said to Jeremiah. And I pray that it would encourage you today. He said in verse 17, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, therefore prepare yourself and arise. In other words, gird yourself up with a belt. Put the belt on, amen. Pull your pants up. Amen. Gird yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. Now, that is interesting. That word dismay means to be intimidated, to break down, to be confused and full of fear. Lord said, don't you be fearful before them, because if you're fearful before them, intimid before them, and confused before them, I'll make you look like a fool. He said, don't do that. He said, lest I dismay you before them. Then verse 18, he says, for behold, I have made you this day a fortress. This is what God's saying to the church today. He's what he's saying to every believer. Don't be intimidated by the people you work with or whatever. He said, listen, I have made you a fortified city and an iron pillar. and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes and its priests, those in authority, religious and political, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you. You better get ready for a fight. Do not think you can hold on to your faith today and not be in a fight. He said, they're going to fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you. Hallelujah. That's our victory, says the Lord, to deliver you. That's our God. Amen. Praise his holy name. That's the God we serve right now. And so with that mindset, we're able to rise up against the commotion, against the schemes of the devil. Yes, even in this present age. I just wanted to share that with you. Keep that in mind. Amen. You can go back and read it later on if you want to. But back here in Acts chapter 19, verse 24, Demetrius, this individual, his name is interesting because his name comes from a goddess by the name of Demeter. Demeter. And she's the goddess or the mother of agriculture. And so he's under the influence of the spirit of this age. And so he's upset and he stirs these other people up against the way. The way always offends. You know why? Because it gets in the way of the flesh. When we don't get what we want, they hated the way. Because, you know, Demetrius was representing the craftsmen and all. And these guys were making these little idols of Diana. And their inventory was starting to stack up. Nobody's buying. Because remember, before we saw last time, where people were coming to Paul and saying, these idols are nothing. They're getting rid of their idols and all of these things. Nobody's buying anymore. Inventory's backing up. Our turnover is slowed down, you know. Can't make a profit. So he is representing them. The way always gets in the way of the flesh. To depart from the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. To depart from the way, we could say God's word, is really a departure from Christ. Some of you probably have heard about the recent decision by Pope Francis regarding the endorsement of civil unions for same-sex couples. That is not the way. That's not according to God's word. It is a modern-day example of deviating from the way in an effort to not offend the world. Now, let me just be clear. The church is an ICU unit, intensive Christ, amen, unit, amen, intensive care in Christ. We're sinners that need God's grace, and we've been redeemed, we've been delivered from sin, but God is still working on us, and we welcome sinners. Let Calvary Worship Center be a place where sinners are welcome, amen? That's what this, you're welcome, and I don't care what your sexuality is, or, you know, if you're full of pride, or you're, you know, whatever is going on in your life. You know, God loves you. I want you to know that. But he loves us enough to tell us the truth. He doesn't love us at the expense of truth. Romans 6:23 still says, still applies today, for the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? The gospel is a message of love and truth. You can't have one without the other. You say, well, we just love people, so we let people do whatever they want to do. That's not truth. So I got a friend that wants to put a gun to his head or wants to do, you know, crack or whatever and destroying their life. Well, I love you too much to say anything. That's not love. And then if I speak the truth and I say what's right and correct, but I don't say it with love, I misrepresent God, because God is love. So truth and love goes together. Speak the truth in love. We love people according to truth. Amen. The truth, which enraged this crowd, as we'll see in a moment, in Ephesus, was that idols were really not gods at all. Verse 24, the first part said Demetrius was a silversmith. He made these silver shrines to the goddess Diana at her temple there in Ephesus. These little shrines are small gold or silver images weighing about 3 to 7 pounds. And that's what they were selling to people. This goddess was called Diana by the Romans, the goddess of the hunt, and by the Ephesians or the Greeks, she was called Artemis. We talked about this some time ago. the goddess of fertility. But notice something in verse 24. Verse 24 says, this trade brought no small profit. So it was very lucrative, very lucrative. Again, their inventory was back up. They weren't making money. And so therefore, profit, really, the anger and all, it was really motivated by profit, by greed, and not out of a concern for the people. We see this scenario being played out even today in our culture with Planned Parenthood. Many decry any attempt for the government to defund Planned Parenthood, citing concern for a woman's health or a mother's right to exterminate, to kill her baby in the womb. Now, if you've had an abortion, God is a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness. I want you to know that straight up. God is not a God of condemnation, but he's also a God of truth. Remember, he's a God of love and a God of truth. He'll tell us the truth. But Planned Parenthood, when you examine this organization, is about the Benjamins. It's about the money. The Family Research Council in the 2018 report said, and I quote, taxpayer funding accounts for 37% of Planned Parenthood's revenue. That's your money, almost 40%. Technically a nonprofit, Planned Parenthood has generated millions in profit, excess revenues over expenses, in each of the last 19 years until fiscal year 2018, when it failed to report its profit. For fiscal year 2017, Planned Parenthood reported a profit of $244.8 million. In fiscal year 2018, Planned Parenthood generated its highest gross revenue ever, coming in at $1.6 billion with a B dollars. The vitriolic opposition that we see today, people get enraged. Oh, how dare you, speak out against Planned Parenthood. I have no problem speaking out about it because I know Planned Parenthood, that Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood to annihilate a lot of the race, African-American race, and started in New York City. First Planned Parenthood office was opened in Harlem, New York, to exterminate black kids. A lot of folks don't know that. And yet, people are shouting, and, hey, we got to defend Planned Parenthood. It's amazing how the devil can get you to be for something that is destroying you.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman, and a message from Al's series through the Book of Acts. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us for another study in Acts next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.